Hello and welcome to Checkpoint on Campus. I am your host, Jacob Brothers. Joining me, as always, is Erica Sidora. Erica, how are we doing today?
Fan-freaking-tastic, Jacob.
Ooh, I love that. I am as well. Hopefully this is my last day of doing a show on a laptop, but that's neither here nor there. We are talking about the Future of College Esports Conference. So, Launch Esports announced their inaugural Future of College Esports Conference is going to be happening on November 11th. Now, Launch Esports has partnered with Digital Media Wire's Future of Television, which I thought was kind of interesting. So it's kind of a multi-day conference focusing on television. And I guess one of those days just focuses on collegiate esports. So the industry's only growing, which I think is really great. So Launch itself is a partnership between Mainline and Steel Planet Esports. And so at this conference, there are going to be six topics. Erica, can you tell us what those topics would be?
Of course I can. We have the state of esports, the new market of esports, esports culture, armed forces and esports, the production team of college esports and how that's going to go, and of course, the making of an esports collegiate program.
Fantastic. Thank you, Erica. Yeah, so the point of this event is to bring together all relevant information on a collegiate esports market and then present it to the audience. So it's also the event's also designed to provide a roadmap to shareholders, athletic directors, coaches, players, and team representatives. Among the speakers is Chris Buckner, the co-founder of Mainline, co-founder of Launch Esports, Billy Sprout, director of collegiate esports of Mainline, Chi Chow, and the senior director of esports at Ubisoft, as well as speakers from FaZe Clan, Air Force Gaming, and the U.S. Coast Guard. So, kind of an interesting collection of speakers. So my question to you, Erica, is which of these topics do you think is going to offer the most new information?
Most definitely the esports culture. I think that's always going to be changing, not even just this year, but by month. There's always going to be something new. There's always going to be something new to talk about. And I'm excited to see what they're going to bring up specifically in that conference. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm kind of interested about the new name and likeness stuff, because that was a big story not that long ago about the NCAA finally letting players make money. And we weren't really sure how that was going to intersect with collegiate esports in the sense that they already do make money, and most of them already stream, so their name and likeness is already out there. And so I think this is going to be the first main time where we see people who know everything to be like, hey, here is what's coming. Here's how you're able to make money off yourself, and here are the opportunities that you can find. And that's the Future of College Esports Conference. It's going to be taking place on November 11th once again. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about a brand new esports minor, as well as a team coming with it. Hello, and welcome back to Checkpoint on Campus. Jacob Brothers is still here. Erica Sidora is still there. And the program and minor that we are talking about today is from West Virginia. They're adding a new minor and team. So WVU's esports minor is going to be a 15-credit college program offering esports opportunities on its three campuses. Those three campuses would be Morgantown, Berkeley, and Kaiser. They join the likes of Becker College, Ohio State, UC Irvine, as schools who already have programs. But what's interesting is that most schools don't start a program and a team at the same time. Usually they start their team and they're like, yeah, we got some momentum here. How about we make a program to educate people? And so since this is happening at the same time, they picked up Noah Johnson. Noah Johnson's the winner of the 2020 Madden Challenge Tournament and runner-up in the Collegiate Madden National Championship. And so he's the first recruit of the Mountaineers esports team. So they're kind of starting out really big. As we know, Madden's gotten a lot bigger, and so those players have reached a higher platform. So I was kind of surprised to see that a player of this caliber was immediately added on. Following Noah Johnson is Josh Steger. He's going to be the director of esports and the varsity coach for WVU. And he is the 2021 National Association of College Esports Madden of the Year. That's a mouthful. The coach of the year for Collegiate Madden. He's going to be overseeing that whole launch and development. The main thing I thought about when I was reading this over and how it's kind of a unique case when it comes to the team and the program, Erica. So my question to you, jumble of words there, but long story short, if a school is offering a degree, be it if it's a major or a minor, which I don't think we've had a major yet, so I'm curious when that'll take place. Should it be directly involved with the team of that school?
No, I don't believe so. I mean, there are so many different avenues for esports. Not everyone wants to be an esports player. Some people just want to look at the marketing side of esports or the production side of esports. There are so many different alternatives to instead of just being a player. I don't think we realize it. And it's good that we're pushing students to have different aspirations rather than just being an esports player.
Yeah, see, I like this because I disagree. They don't have to be a player on the team, but I think of it in the sense of, like, let's say UNLV TV or even this podcast, for example. You and I are on the show talking, interacting with it directly, but we have more than 10, 15 students that are kind of doing the background work. And so I think when you have an esports team, it seems almost foolish to have a program that's like, yeah, let's talk about esports marketing, but let's not have you market our esports team. Or it's like, we're going to teach you about broadcasting and shoutcasting, but we're not going to have you do that with our program. And so I think it can really be designed as a win-win to where you have your team and they're doing their own thing in their own bubble. But then the minor itself kind of backs them up, almost like what Boise State does with their amazing studio and what they do for that esport or for their teams just from a broadcasting level. And I think that it provides more opportunities for the team, it provides more opportunities for the students, and it could cause every school to become a legitimate contender, at least in coverage and execution. And so that's what I think on that. But we know that there's so many more schools offering programs that we don't know about, and if you are offering them, we want to hear from you. So if you offer an esports minor, hit us up, contact us at Checkpoint XP. We're on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Jacob_Brodoroki. And we just want to know what's different from these programs and what makes them tick. And so we would love to hear from you. So coming back after a big break highlight, we're going to be giving you your weekly preview.
This week's big break highlight comes to us from the world of Fortnite. While Collegiate Fortnite is still in its infancy stage, there are still plenty of gamers that know exactly what it comes down to in the endgame. It's those big build battles with all kinds of different walls. When the circle in this battle royale gets that tight and small, recreating a fort to look for an opening shot to shoot one another is the main goal of every player still in the game. In this clip, a player named Rubix loses the advantage in a last-minute build battle and ends up getting shot in the end.
Here today, though, like I said, I was working on a bot. Oh, good shots, Ravs. Good shots. Jeez. GG's, my friends.
GG indeed to Rubix on that tight, tight loss. If you want to be featured as our big break highlight, make sure you shoot us a tweet at OnCampus Esports. And for all the latest in college esports, head over to our website at checkpointxp.com.
Hello and welcome back. Once again, Jacob Brother still here, Erica Sidora still there, and this is your weekly preview. We talked about Overwatch last week, so we're just going to quickly run through it. Overwatch took a week break. They are now back. It is the last week of the Swiss rounds. So after this, they're going to be going to playoffs on December 3rd. And so happening across November 5th and 6th, there will be Northwood versus Bellevue, Redbird Esports versus UTD, and Harrisburg versus Bay State. Keep an eye out for all of those matches because they are all going to be really good besides Redbird Esports just kind of clicking on the enemy. Now, Erica, what can you tell us about Collegiate Carball?
Carball! Oh my gosh, I'm excited because we have our home team, UNLV, facing against UT Arlington. We have North Texas facing against both UT Dallas and Mizzou. That's exciting. And if you want to check that out, please go on College Carball on Twitch, and that will all be streamed on November 5th, Friday at 6:40 PST.
Fantastic. And now, Erica, what else can you tell us about some College League of Legends?
Well, guys, the fall warm-ups are finally over, and now we can spiral right into the regional conferences. For the first time in forever, we're going to have a public registration link, and that will drop 3rd, and it will close on November 30th at 5 p.m. PST. I want to congratulate USC Esports for winning the Shurima division, and if you don't know what division is, or the fall esports, or the fall warm-ups, my bad, please check out on our other videos, because me and Jacob quite into it.
We do. So going on around the rest of the collegiate esports world, there is a major Valorant tournament coming. The Philly Esports Collegiate Valorant Showdown has been announced. So the tournament is going to be hosted by the U.S. Army, and it will be running from November 4th through the 7th. The showdown has a prize pool of about $10,000, so, you know, some chump change, with 6,000 going to first place. Among the 32 teams, Collegiate Valorant Conference Spring 2021 champion Virginia Tech will be playing, as well as UC Irvine, DePaul University, Rutgers University, and the University of Florida, just to name a few. The matches can be found on twitch.tv/Philly Esports. And last but not least, Hearthstone Collegiate Masters Swiss Rounds are still going on. They're actually going to be concluding on November 4th, with the dual elimination playoffs happening shortly after on November 8th and 11th. You can go follow at HS Esports for more event coverage. Coming up next is going to be some speculation on the future on some fighting games and if they're going to sink or if they're going to swim. Find out after this. Hello and welcome back to our last segment of the show. Jacob Brothers is still here and Erica Sidora is still there across the metaphorical table. And we are going to be talking about Smash clones. So Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, or whatever the title is, was recently released. And there's now the Warner Brothers game that was leaked. And I really like these kinds of games. I think platformer fighters are very interesting. It's a very interesting genre of game. And Smash does really well on the college landscape. So Erica, do you think that these games are going to have a competitive life in collegiate esports, or are they just going to kind of sink?
Well, depending on the viewer. I mean, like, we were just talking about how we want to see Cat and Dog versus, like, Nigel Thornberry go at it, but that's not totally appealing towards the general audience. But also, Warner Brothers has some really cool shows that, like, a little bit of throwback. Like, Shaolin Showdown was on Warner Brothers, I believe. I'd love to see that. But overall, like, nothing really holds a candle to Smash, though.
That's true, because when I was thinking about this, because I also think that these are going to sink, and it's unfortunate because these games are being made with a competitive future in mind. I mean, the Nickelodeon game has netcode and Smash doesn't. I mean, just even that fact alone is ridiculous. And we don't know how the Warner Brothers game is going to fully pan out, but what I've come to notice about esports, and college esports in particular, is that they love their monopolies. And when a fighting game has a monopoly, they don't look at anything else. I never hear about collegiate Mortal Kombat. I never hear about collegiate Tekken. I never hear about collegiate Virtua Fighter. I only hear about collegiate Street Fighter. And so I think that Smash is going to go in that same direction of everyone plays Smash. I mean, they just got Sora, so literally every prayer has been answered. And since that game is such a monopoly, I mean, even like UTD, for example, like they're the kings of that castle. And I just don't think that players would want to spend their time dedicated to a game that's not doing that well compared to Smash. Actually, we had a stat from our producer, Rick, that apparently the Nickelodeon game had a single-digit viewer count earlier on Twitch. So that's probably not looking good for Nickelodeon. Yeah, but we will see. I would be shocked if we saw a collegiate match, but I would love to see some professional cat-dog play. But that is our show. We hope you enjoyed this week. Thank you very much for watching. And be sure to follow us and check us out on checkpointxp.com. And we will see you soon. And never forget that we love you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.